And how happy are you? Think about it. In your relationships, in your work or career, in your spiritual life, are you as happy as you want to be? There are some who believe that wanting to be happy is the same thing as being selfish. But really, when you are truly happy, you're feeling joy. Aren't you a better you? Don't you vibrate on a higher level? Don't you love more deeply when you are happy? All of us will continue to discover that being happy is not only a good thing, but it is essential to that connection that we call soul. Feeling good is feeling God. How happy are you? The quiz we're going to give you is one of the most widely used tools in the study of true happiness. There are people who study happiness, and here is how it works. You have to answer these five questions on a scale of 1 to 7. 7 would be the highest. Number one, this is a question. Answer this. In most ways, my life is close to ideal. Number two, the conditions of my life are excellent. Number three, I am satisfied with my life. Number four, so far, I've gotten the important things I want in life. Number five, if I could live my life over, I would change almost nothing. Okay, now, add up your score. So if you scored between 31 and 35, you are considered extremely satisfied, okay? If you scored 15 or below, you are considered dissatisfied with your life. And if you scored somewhere in between, you might have a lot of work to do. You are really feeling bad about yourself. So the day that I took this test, I was really very sad because my little dog, Sophie, who I've had for 12 years, has had kidney failure. And on that day, the doctor told me that I had to put her down. Very sad. And I realized as I was walking, I was literally walking around crying because of Sophie. And then I realized I could change the way I felt about it, that I could think about all the wonderful times that I've had with her and what a comfort she's been in my life, and it changed the way I felt about it.
Oprah, you make such an important point, because I think for happiness, a lot of times we're looking outside of ourselves for everything to be right.
For what's going on today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when you talk about happiness, I think you're really talking about joy.
Joy, that's exactly.
You're talking about something that's inside you, and it's in there regardless of how your day is and what's going on in your life. And this is the big secret to happiness. What I find is when people remember that there's a place in them where they're already happy and they can connect to that place, then, you know, that's the key to happiness ultimately.
How can you remember that you're already happy if you've never connected to that place?
Well, that's exactly true. Most of us haven't had the education or the example to show us that actually there is this innate happiness just waiting for us to make contact with it.
And where is it?
Well, I think the secret is based on some very timeless principles. And it starts with a very wild idea, which is actually that the physical world, it doesn't really exist. It's a mental world. And actually, we project ourselves onto the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what did your spiritual teacher tell you?
Well, he said, look, actually, Robert, you're already happy. And I said, well, that's great, but I don't feel it. So tell me, what do I have to do? And he said, you have to understand that the pursuit of happiness is a mistake. It's like you don't chase happiness out there. You learn that you're happy inside you, and then you go running. Then you go into the world.
You were saying that your spiritual teacher told you, Robert, many years ago, that you can't pursue happiness, that you are already happy, and then you go out and do whatever it is that makes you feel fulfilled or whatever.
Yeah, so we have to handle it right, because you see, it's like if we forget that happiness is within us, then no matter how much we pursue it, we'll always feel like we're further away from it.
That's right. And this is what's so interesting, is there's something called destination.
Oh yeah, destination addiction. Destination addiction is where you live in the not now. It's always about tomorrow. So you're chasing more next and there. And you promise yourself that when you get there, you'll be happy. And I promise you, you won't. because you'll always set another destination.
Yeah. And there's so many people watching us right now who are in positions that take a little bit of their spirit and they die a little bit every day because you're in a job that you hate. You're dealing with people every day surrounded by bosses that don't respect you and treat you badly. And so you die a little bit.
I think one of the big keys in the workplace is the key to happiness is not to have a job, it's to have a purpose. There's a big difference.
Yes.
And actually, you know, if leaders in the workplace were to be really smart, they would make sure that they supported people in having a purpose rather than just a job.
Yeah.
Because when you've got a purpose, I think you feel like you're making a difference.
Right.
And doing something.
Actually, I was speaking at some university once, and that was the subject of my speech. I was saying that you should not focus on success, but focus on significance. And focusing on significance, how do you be significant in the world? How do you make significant contributions? First to yourself, then to your family and community, and then the world. And if you focus on that, then success automatically comes.
Completely yeah. True. And I think also, you know, the key to happiness is when you support other people in being happy.
Yeah.
It feels good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're in a happiness slump?
I will tell you, one of the most profound reasons, I think, is because everybody is looking at other people's social media, what they believe to be other people's lives, which is only a snapshot of other people's lives, and feeling envy about that. And one of the things that Arthur and I talk about in this book is that envy is the great destroyer.
The happiness killer.
It is the happiness killer. And so anytime you're looking at anything else with envy, you have already killed your own happiness or your ability to be happier in that moment and probably in moments to come. So I, coming from where I've come from, rural Mississippi, never imagining the life that I have, for a long time, I have felt that I had enough, even though I kept getting more. But inside myself, I feel that I am enough, which is one of the great lessons. What is at the root of most people's dysfunction is that you don't think that you're good enough. You don't think that you're worthy. You don't own your own essence and your own power.
I wonder, how would you advise, given everything that you've been through in your life and talked about in your childhood, how does one take agency over their life and their happiness?
I know this, that many of the things that have happened to you have also happened for you. And that I learned when the crisis or the challenge showed up for me, I immediately would ask, sometimes out loud, but certainly in my own conscious spirit, what is this here to teach me? And how can I get that lesson as soon as possible? And this I guarantee you, the moment you have the conscious realization of, oh, this is why this is here, showing up to allow me to see whatever that is in your life, it changes for you.
Unhappiness is not the enemy.
No, it is not the enemy. The unhappiness, and it actually, one of the things that's so powerful, I think, about what Arthur has written specifically is about how your emotions are there to allow you to feel and then take the wheel of this feeling that I'm having this feeling, and now I need to do what? And not to allow yourself to be overcome by the feeling. So you have a feeling of anger, you have a feeling of sadness, you have a feeling of disappointment. Doesn't mean you are those things, you are those emotions. So now what am I going to do now that I'm feeling disappointed about certain things? First of all, have a great understanding of your own identity and what is required for you to be happy. And to know the difference between your negative feelings and your emotions and your state of being. So my state of being is always a state of satisfaction, enjoyment, and purpose. So when I first started having conversations with families from, you know, different walks of life, that's when I came to understand that there is a common bond that we all share, that we're all really seeking the same things. And knowing that that thing was happiness came from the show. And every day I would sit and talk with the audience for a half hour, sometimes 40 minutes. A producer would be like, oh my God, when is she going to let go of the audience? What I really want is to have a conversation with the audience to see, why did you come and what did you get from the show and did you benefit at all and why do you watch, all of that. So 10 years in, the audience became my focus group. I would always ask people, what do you want? What would it take to make you happy? And most people, when I say, what do you want? They just say, I just want to be happy. Tell me what that looks like. And as the years progressed, women were more able to identify what that specifically was. But when I first started asking that question in the mid-90s, they would always just say, well, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, what does that look like?
Define it. Define happiness.
Define it. And what I realize is that most people have never defined it. And then they'd say, well, I want my kids to be happy. Well, that's your kids, but what do you want? And so being able to answer specifically what that looks like for you is the beginning of being happier. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a direction. I know that was a shift in mindset for many who are reading this book. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah. And you know, this is the problem with happiness is such a funny thing because we all want it. Every philosopher and theologian has talked about it. Everybody, I mean, how many times have people said that on your show?
I know. That's what I say in the beginning of the book, that
thousands of times.
I became interested in the subject because every time I would sit with the audience and I'd say, what do you want? Everybody would always say, multiple people would answer, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Yeah. But yet when you ask them, what does that look like for them? Hard to define.
For sure. And part of the reason is because it's not something that you can define in any meaningful way. We think it's a feeling. We think it's a destination. Mm-hmm. It isn't either. Happy feelings are nothing more than emotions, and emotions are nothing more than information that we need in reaction to the outside environment. And as a destination, why would you want to be completely happy as the destination? You'd be dead in a week because you actually need negative emotions and experiences to train you, to keep you vigilant, to keep you safe. And to be happy.
Yeah, to keep you alert, to keep you on it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe when I die and I'm in heaven and I see the face of God, the beatific vision will be pure happiness. But on earth, I'm telling you, I need my negative emotions to keep me alive and safe. I need my negative experiences to learn and grow. And so that's what people, they want to stay alive and safe, but they don't want the feelings that keep them alive and safe. And that's this conflict that they have, which is why they feel so unsettled.
Okay, so I think, particularly in this world of social media, people think if I just get that, I mean, I see people toasting on private jets and I see them, you know, on beaches and, you know, their hair blowing in the wind and all that. And people think, well, if I just had that, I could be happy. But we know you have the science to back it up, that there are really four pillars. And if you don't have all of those pillars working in your life, you will eventually end up feeling not necessarily sad, but lonely or distanced or disconnected.
That's right.
So the four pillars are.
Yeah, the four pillars. There's kind of the four pillars you think that you need and those four pillars that you really do need. The idols, the things that look right but aren't, are money, power, pleasure, and fame. Those are the things that Mother Nature says, you get those, you're going to be happy.
Money, power, pleasure, and fame.
That's right. But she lies. Mother Nature lies. She lies a lot because she wants us to keep running, right?
Yeah. Because, but is Mother Nature telling us that or is society telling us that?
Well,
because I think Mother Nature is telling us that it's the four pillars.
Well, Mother Nature gives us these imperatives because she wants us to be hungry. You know, and she wants us to survive and pass on our genes.
Yes.
And the way that you do that is with money, power, pleasure, and fame, right? And she doesn't want us to figure out that those things never really satisfy so that we'll keep running and running and running. That's called the hedonic treadmill.
You like that?
What we really want, and this is backed up by a lot of psychology, neuroscience, behavioral economics, all the research that we want, is that there's kind of four things that are the virtuous things that we should be looking for. The Mother Nature doesn't necessarily tell us, but that if we take the divine path in life, religious or not religiously understood, a better path in life, we'll be happy. And those are faith, family, friends, and work that serves. Now, if you give any teenage kid the choice between money, power, pleasure, and honor, or
faith,
family,
friends,
good friends and good times and a work that serves others. I mean, what are they going to take?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, our society does aid and abet Mother Nature's lie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the marketing colossus tells us that if you get that car, man, you're going to be really happy. If you get that job, you get that money. If you get that 100,000 Instagram followers or whatever your number happens to be, it's never high enough, by the way. You're going to be happy. But that's a lie, is the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with those things.
Yeah.
But if you get those things, if we are so lucky to get those things, they should only ever be in service of the big four, the good four. They should only ever be in service. They should be intermediate goals. A rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike, Manhattan, where you're trying to get, is faith. Faith. And by that,
How do you use that money, power, pleasure, and fame to enhance your faith, family, and work?
And friendship.
And friendships.
Basically, your love.
Yes,
your love. The love in your life.
Yeah.
And the love in the lives of the people around you. That's really what those worldly goals should be used for if you want to have any shot at true happiness.
Yeah.